Hey, y'all, this is Adrian Warren.
Hi, I'm Bradley Gibson.
Hi, I am Alton Fitzgerald White.
Hey, everyone, I'm Derek Davis, and you're listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Call and Response Podcast with Felicia Fitzpatrick. And y'all, Halloween is right around the corner. While I definitely am a scaredy cat, like, my kind of aesthetic for Halloween movies is the Disney Channel original movie Halloween Town, I do love Halloween. Seriously, I love dressing up in different costumes because, hello, I am a theater kid. But now that it's, quote, socially unacceptable for an adult to go trick-or-treating, unquote, we have to find appropriate Halloween events as adults. If you want to go beyond the traditional Halloween house party, Gold Star has you covered with so many options for Halloween weekend, like a haunted Halloween scavenger hunt, a spooky pumpkin garden, and the 2019 Monster Ball, and of course, so much more. So download Gold Star and let's make some memories, y'all. I have this catchphrase every episode where I'm like, I'm so excited, I'm so thrilled, I'm so hype. And I guess at this point, I should just, like, everyone should know. But I am so hype, I'm so thrilled, and I'm so excited to introduce each and every guest because they're all amazing. And today's guest, Derek Davis, holds a special place in my heart because we have a mutual friend. He's been on Playbill's Instagram Live, and he is just the sweetest Pisces with the biggest heart. He is currently playing the titular character in the 25th anniversary national tour of The Phantom of the Opera. But you probably saw him in The Lion King or I Dream or Carousel, the revival that was just on Broadway. And we're just going to dive in today. Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited for you to be here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Because you just have such a generous, genuine spirit.
Thank you.
Yes. Y'all, he brought banana pudding to our office.
Everybody needs banana pudding in their life.
Especially on a Monday.
Especially when it's cloudy on a Monday.
That was real. And humid. We were talking about that. Not good.
God, it's sweaty.
But I'm excited we get to sit down today and learn more about you. And I love to start these podcasts with, how did you get involved in performing arts?
How did I get involved in performing arts? Well, you know, oddly enough, my parents, they introduced me to musical theater through bringing me to see The Phantom of the Opera.
So cosmic.
I mean, isn't it ridiculous? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that was my real introduction. Prior to that, I had heard my mom would always play classical music after church on Sundays.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so mixed in there would be a music of the night, would be all wishing and all that kind of thing. So it was just like infused in my mind.
Right.
It was just that kind of birthed me into the musical theater world.
Yes. And did you sing in church at all when you were growing up?
I did sing in church, but that kind of music wouldn't have been
fair enough. It wouldn't have been Phantom of the Opera, I guess.
No, I feel like
that is, for a lot of people, a training ground to, like, learn your voice and
absolutely
learn about performing and everything.
Absolutely, because you get an opportunity to stand in front of what's called a congregation, obviously,
right,
but it's also an audience, you know, and they're watching you and they're being led by you and the emotions are triggered by what's happening and everything.
That's
like that. True. So it's definitely an incredible training ground.
And honestly, thinking about this now, it's good too in terms of, like, improv, in the sense of, like, you are going with whatever's happening in that moment.
Absolutely. You have to be on your feet. Mm-hmm. Whatever's coming, it's definitely a yes and moment, because whatever's happening, whatever's being given to you by the music director or the pastor or what you're feeling in the spirit or whatever, you have to go with it.
Yep.
Yeah, you have to go with it.
So who were your, like, musical inspirations and influences at that time while you were growing up?
When I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Whitney Houston has always been one of my favorites.
Of course.
One of my favorite. Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, absolute genius. Mm-hmm. And it's not until my later years, until these years now, you know, being more grown up, that I respect and understand and appreciate his music more.
Okay.
Who else? Sutton Foster.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a left field turn for me, but she is just, there's something about her that's just so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I followed her, and when Thoroughly Modern Millie was out,
right.
Like I saw it like 19 times. It was
19 times?
Not really 19. Okay. I'm exaggerating.
But a lot. But
saw
a lot.
It like 3 times.
Yeah.
Which was a lot for me at the time.
Sure.
You know? I have so many. I just can't think of them at the moment.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was a great top three, though.
Yeah.
And so you grew up on Long Island.
I did. And Amityville.
Did you come to Phantom of the Opera for the first time to see a Broadway show? Were you bitten by the bug instantly and kept coming back to the city, or was it more gradual?
No, it was immediate.
Was it?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay,
so let me tell you how it went.
Let us know. Please let us know.
My mother did not tell me what we were going to see.
Oh.
She just said we were going to see a show.
Oh, interesting.
So we're walking down from, if you're familiar with New York, we're walking from 42nd Street, walking uptown on 7th or Broadway or whatever it was at the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And all the marquees, once you get to 44th and you're walking up 44th, you see all the different marquees. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's that show. And we would walk past it. Oh, no, maybe it's that show.
Wow.
And then I saw The Mask. And she knows I love that show, the music of it.
Right.
And so we went in. Well, we got on the line, and clearly that was the show. I was very excited. Mm-hmm. And just the memory of them handing us the program, the playbill. Mm-hmm. The playbill. and being ushered to our seats, and she got us front row seats.
Wow.
It was, yeah.
Shout out
she
to
did
Mom.
It. Mom, Diana Davis, you did that.
Yes.
It was amazing. It was just phenomenal. And I was just bitten immediately. Yeah.
It just struck you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because that show, too, I feel like is one of those where you don't forget as you leave.
Ever.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
It transports you.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
In a different place completely, especially sitting that close and being that young and then never having seen a show like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it was the, I don't want to use that term because it's, but I was vibrating within myself. Mm. Like it was unbelievable,
yeah.
You know?
No, that's a that's powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you take in this energy. You're listening to Whitney Houston and Stevie Wonder, becoming obsessed with Sutton Foster. Was there a moment that it clicked, like, I can do this professionally for you?
Yeah.
It was
coming home from seeing Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, it was that night?
Oh, yeah.
This was a big night.
It was huge. I got home and I told my father, I said, you know, I'm going to be an actor.
Wow.
And he said, well, you know, most actors are waiters.
Mm.
I mean, they're from Panama. So
gotcha.
There's certain things that look differently and have been, you know, understood in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, okay. My young brain, I was like, okay. So then I get a towel and I put it over my arm and I'm like, Ma, can I serve the food?
Wow.
And like, so in my mind immediately, like, this is what I have to do to become an actor. So if that's what it's going to take, let's get on it.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. But,
wow, that's interesting. Hmm.
Yeah, it ended up being the catalyst for everything.
Sparking that for you.
Yeah.
Wow. So then did you go to school or did you immediately enter?
No, I went to school.
Where'd you go to school?
Yeah, I went to Long Island University, CW Post Campus. Gorgeous, gorgeous campus. And at the time, it had a phenomenal opera program.
Oh.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Voice, y'all. Yes.
Yeah. So I studied the 4 years there and we traveled the world during the summers.
Oh, did you? Where'd you go?
Yeah. Oh, my God. First, we went to Korea.
Oh, wow.
Then we went to Italy, we went to London, Scotland, Wales, Bath, just all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the place, just performing. It was great.
What was one of your favorite performance memories from that time?
I don't remember where the cathedral was. It was in Italy.
Mm.
But it was an old cathedral in a terrible state of disrepair.
Mm.
And we went inside and we were just touring it. And our professor, Alexander Dashnow, he said, let's sing the Lord Bless You and Keep You.
Mm.
And we stood right in the center of, I guess it would be the nave or whatever, and sang it and literally felt like, I get chills, like the heavens were opening in that space just because of the way the architecture made the sound just ring and circle. And it was just an amazing experience. So that was my favorite performance.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a performance. It was just an impromptu moment, but definitely my favorite.
But we're about the yes and, aren't we?
Yo, yes.
Like, there you go. Yeah. that gives me chills just thinking about it. And then do you remember your first like professional audition after that, after you graduated?
I do.
You oh, he's laughing, and I need to know why.
What a disaster. Okay, so.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So I, but a disaster that led to greatness.
There you go.
So I was told by one of my coaches, audition for things mm-hmm. in the beginning that you're not right for, so you can get your audition legs up. You know,
oh,
so you,
interesting.
So you don't have the nerves of, oh my God, I really have to book this. You just are figuring out what you're doing in the room.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I went in for this show called Harmony, which was set in Germany at the turn of the century. And I was like, they're not casting any black people.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
just not happening. So I went in for that. Bender Casting was casting. Mm. I didn't realize, and I had sat. You know, when you do the cattle call, you sit outside for hours hoping for a chance to be called, you know? And I sat out there for hours and hours and hours, and finally they were like, Derek, you can come in. And I was like, great. So they slipped me in with the other people that were being seen for the show, and I didn't realize that there was a step up.
Oh, no.
Into the room.
No!
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And I tripped and... all of my music, you know, you're young, your music isn't really secure in, in the binder.
Right.
It went flying everywhere,
oh,
literally
no.
everywhere. And everybody kind of leaned forward on the table and they're like, oh my God, are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
I collected myself. I stood up. I said, ladies and gentlemen, that would be my entrance. And they all started laughing. I started laughing. It broke the ice.
There you go.
And I sang the audition song, whatever it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know, Jay Bender of Bender Casting was sitting right there. And he said, you know, you're not right for this,
Mm-mm.
but I may give you a call.
Wow.
And they called me in, and that started my audition process for The Lion King.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's a major yes and moment.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Wow.
But I still needed to learn. I had more growing to do. And
mm-hmm.
at the time, I thought I was the King Ka, but mm-hmm. they were like, yeah, no, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it took several years after that before I booked Lion King.
Oh, okay.
But it started my journey with them. So
yeah.
it was a wonderful moment for sure.
So for, you know, a lot of our listeners are aspiring actors and creatives.
Yes.
But in terms of the audition process, especially for a show that's, you know, as notable and as big as Lion King, it, like you said, it takes a while,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
how was your audition process for Lion King?
Okay, once I started, so I took some time off because I had some bills that I needed paying.
Okay, okay, yeah.
And so I got a side job or whatever
for
a few years. And then when the bug bit again and I said, I really have to do this thing, the process from my first audition to booking the gig was about 3 months long.
Oh, wow.
And there were about 8 callbacks.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole lot. And at about 5, I was like, I'm done.
Right.
Get me out of here.
Because how, like, is it going back to seeing the same material every time?
It gets harder and harder as you go through. So you go in first and you sing 30 seconds or 30
mm-hmm.
measures of whatever song you choose,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then they say, great. And you're in front of just the casting director. And then you come back again and they're like, all right, sing more of that song. Great.
Oh.
You come back the next time and they give you a song from the show. You sing that and they're like,
gotcha.
Great. You come back the next time and it's that song with some lines from the show. And then there's
gotcha.
The music director has mm-hmm. been added to the thing. And it just grows and grows and grows. And then they add the movement. They add the this and then they add the that.
Mm-hmm.
It probably wouldn't have been quite as long, but they were considering me for Mufasa
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm.
the Las Vegas company at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so they were really doing their due diligence to dig and see how much I would be able to give.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very, very end, I remember walking in to that last audition and they said, Derek, this is Disney Theatrical's creative team. And when I tell you it was about 15, 20 people in
Ooh,
the room,
yep.
I literally had to say, I just need a minute.
Right.
And I turned my back to them and I walked to the corner of the room.
Yes.
I took a deep breath. Turned back around and then,
wow.
yeah.
But
yeah.
I love that you took that moment for yourself.
You have to.
You know.
And they get it. You mm-hmm. know, what we forget is that you're auditioning for people who have the power to give you a role or not, but they're also human beings,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
mm-hmm. yeah.
if you say what you need, especially at that point in the process, it's not like there's 52 people waiting outside to come in.
Mm-hmm.
This was my time slot,
right.
you know?
Right.
So just say what you need and they're usually willing to give it.
Right.
Yeah.
and be not adaptable, accommodating.
Accommodating, yeah, for sure.
We have to touch on the moment where you said, so you went and had a side job for a little bit, but yeah, then you were bit by the bug again, and you're like, I have to do this. What? I just got to know what that moment was like. You know what I'm saying? Because that happens.
You're asking like the best questions ever, because these stories are bomb, and we didn't even talk about this.
No, no, yeah.
So I was doing real estate. No. That was another one. I was doing, I was working for State Farm Insurance.
Okay.
As a personal injury protection claims adjuster. My God. The furthest thing from creative that you can get, you know?
Yeah.
Love you, State Farm.
Sponsored by State Farm.
Right, exactly. No, but so I was sitting in my cubicle, processing through files, looking at medical things, and oh my God. I literally had that moment in my mind where I was like, that's it. I cannot do this anymore. And I took a headshot that I had in my at the time it was a, what do you call it? Not an attaché case, but a...
like a briefcase?
Yeah, briefcase.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't think of that. but I took my headshot out of the briefcase. I photocopied my headshot because I had been telling people I'm going to be on Broadway. And they're like, you work for State Farm. You're never going to be on Broadway.
Wow.
And I took my headshot and I photocopied it 100 times. And I pinned it all around my cubicle. And then I wrote a letter of resignation, effective immediately, submitted it, and walked out the door. Boss!
Ooh, mic drop.
No. I mean, mic drop. I mean, I probably should have had a follow-up. But if I had a follow-up gig, I probably would have just been doing another gig, you know? Sometimes you really just have to cut the ties and say, let's do this thing and let's do it now.
I'm blown away by that.
Yeah. It was scary.
Yeah.
It was. But it worked. It forced me to have to focus and put in the work to get where I wanted to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so true, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Focusing the energy.
And doing the work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was the next step in terms of the work that you needed to do?
Get my voice strong, you know, because when you don't sing for a long time, your voice, there are muscles involved. There's your diaphragm. And getting my mind strong and getting my mind focused, immersing myself again in musical theater, because it's an industry, it's a business as well. So you have to understand what the business is doing and what they're looking for in the moment, what kind of headshots. Right now, the headshots have a lot of color washing in them. Mm. Back when I was starting, it was black and white headshots, you know, and then it became color, and now they're color with color wash. And then sometimes they want it to be with an exterior background, and sometimes they want it to be with a flat background. It changes, but
you have to keep up.
You have to keep up, and that's just the headshots, you know. So there's other things like the style of music that's popular in musical theater now. There's a lot of cutting edge things that are happening now, mixed in with the greats from many, many moons ago being retooled. Like so there's the good R&H, but across from Hamilton. So there's so much that you have to just be aware of. So I started to immerse myself in that again.
Yeah.
And you know, just figure myself out as much as I could so that when I walked into the room, I had a complete me walking into the room as opposed to just some confused kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, how old were you when you plastered the cubicle?
Oh, yes. I was in my mid to upper 20s somewhere, probably around 27, 26, 27.
Yeah.
Maybe?
25,
26, 27, somewhere in there.
Yeah. And then, so then when you booked The Lion King, was it for Las Vegas or was it for the...
Yeah.
It was, okay.
It was for Las Vegas. So I did Las Vegas for 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, and then I did the tour as Mufasa for a stint before they asked me to come to Broadway. And then I covered Mufasa and Scar on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you, overall, how many years were you with Lion King?
8 years.
8 years. But that's not...
He's good to you.
That's what I keep hearing. Alton Fitzgerald White is a podcast alum, and he, I mean, you know, he was there for a long
time.
He
sure was. He was my mentor in a lot of ways.
Was he?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Particularly for the role of Mufasa, because he was the Mufasa on the tour. And so when I went on, I was covering it at the time, and I went on. I have a great picture of him and I, and he's holding my shoulders and I'm sitting in the chair in the makeup, and it's just a great picture. And then he came to New York as well while I was here. So Yeah, we've had a long history together.
He's a good guy.
Great, great man.
Alton, yeah. If you're listening, we love you.
Love you.
But so that's what I was going to ask was about, I don't know, I just think The Lion King obviously is a really special show for many different reasons for many different people, but yeah. What was it like stepping into that legacy of Disney, of The Lion King?
You know, it was so exciting.
Yeah.
Disney does so much so well, mm-hmm. you know, and so much of the things that you'll never see, you know, case in point, when we went to Las Vegas, the way they presented the show to the new members of the cast.
Okay.
I mean, and I won't go into the details of it, but it was so overwhelming and so beautiful and so inviting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we instantly became a family in that moment. Yeah. And there was some dances and some songs that we sang and did. And it was just, it was magical. It was really, really magical. So my time with that show was really formative for my career.
Yeah.
And I grew up in that show in so many ways, you
know?
And
this is slightly off topic.
Go. I love an off topic.
But because I was just thinking about this with Lady Gaga, because, you know, she's doing her residency in Las Vegas. And I'm like, what does Lady Gaga do during the day in Vegas? And then I was like, what do any of the performers in Vegas like do during the day?
Well, I'm sure Lady Gaga will get on a private jet and go sit on the beach in California during the day.
True. That's true.
She's
That's
Lady
true.
Gaga.
That's true. That's
true. No, but during the it's really interesting. Las Vegas on the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what most people go to visit, mm-hmm. is what everybody expects. It never goes to sleep. It's crazy. There's drinking. There's the gambling. There's the right. shows that are amazing. There, it's the food is unbelievable. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get off the Strip, there's really a great sense of normalcy. Like, like there are bowling alleys and movie theaters and there's the Whole Foods and like it's just like chill.
Okay.
And the weather is amazing. I mean, aside from the month that it's like 115 degrees.
Yeah.
The first year that I was there, it rained twice the entire year.
What?
Sunshine all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why people there are really generally quite happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's hiking and stuff over there too.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You're in the desert in the sweltering heat by the pool. 45-minute drive. You can be on a snow-capped mountain.
Yeah.
Mount Charleston. It's and then you can do the skiing up there. You can do the hiking. Yeah. Then you have the Red Rock Canyon that's kind of like a miniature, and not really miniature, but in comparison, a miniature Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you have the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
That's another 45 minutes over the other direction.
Right.
It's phenomenal.
So there were things. Okay, that answered my question. There are things to do in Vegas besides gambling.
Holy cow, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, and I think people probably think that about New York of like, does everyone hang out in Times Square all the time?
And it's no.
Like, no. No.
We like hang out everywhere otherwise. But Times Square.
Right, no kidding. but it's always interesting to me of like, you know, when you're an artist, like, of course, you work out to stay in shape or, you know, you have your regimens, but living in a city like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, okay. It's exciting. Like you have the nightlife that you would look for, mm-hmm. you know, and it's very accessible and it's exciting to be able to do that. But then to be able to escape it so quickly, because literally 5 minutes off the Strip and you wouldn't even know that you're in the same city.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh, and that's what I was going to ask was about touring as well, because obviously you're doing that now mm-hmm. and you're doing it with Lion King. What? Oh, this is a big question, but what is tour life like?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. It's a huge sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful, you know, but most things in life that are incredibly wonderful have to be balanced out with something that's not quite so wonderful.
That is some Pisces realness, y'all. Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So I get to be the titular character. and I get to see this great country and I get to represent this incredible work, but I have to leave my family behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to change cities every 2 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I have to sleep in a different bed.
Yeah.
I have to find out where the the grocery store, isn't it? There's just so much attached to it that people don't really think about. Mm-hmm. So there is the glitz and the glam, and I'm grateful, mm-hmm. completely grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But there's also the grit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Performers, artists, you need grit.
You do.
You really do.
You really, really do. So if you have a thin skin and you want to get into this industry, I would say go buy a thick coat.
I love that. That's fun. But with touring too, we talked about this a little bit on the Playbill Instagram Live, but the country mm-hmm. is different in different places. I don't know how to ask the question. Basically, in terms of interacting
yeah.
with the different people within different parts of the country, what has that been like?
Overwhelmingly, it's been very positive.
Mm-hmm.
But to be completely honest, there are a few moments where I was immediately reminded who I am and mm-hmm. what country and what time mm-hmm. we're in. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say the positive of it because that is literally 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
The people are so beautiful and so kind and so welcoming mm-hmm. to the point where they're inviting me to their homes for dinner. And I'm like, I can't do that. Yeah, they really do.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I can't do that because I don't know you.
Right.
Although I would love to.
Yeah.
Also because I really don't have the time. But
right.
But that's how open and loving they are.
Right.
But then there are those moments where people just want to show the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hatred, the lack of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Their version of their superiority over, you know.
Wow, that's a great way of saying it.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that self-care wise?
I do a lot of praying.
Okay.
I do a lot of meditating.
Yeah.
I have a great circle of friends. There's about 15 of us. We call ourselves the Framily.
Oh, wow.
And we stay connected through Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah.
We're all performers and we travel the world. One right now is in Russia. One is in Detroit. There's another one that's over in California. We're literally all over the place at all times
wow.
and constantly moving. So through Marco Polo, we kind of just, when we have time,
mm-hmm.
we leave a little message so that we stay connected and we encourage each other. We share the great things. We share the bad things and
yeah.
we make sure and undergird each other. So for anybody who's facing any kind of you know, negativity or whatever, just make sure you lean on your circle. Make sure you have a circle. Even if it's 2 people, 5 people, 15 people, 1,000 people, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
make sure your circle is that place where you can go and recharge.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's just really very, very important.
And like check in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, that's so important. Mm-hmm. Somebody, there's this girl on Instagram, and I forget her name, but her thing is Dream, Create, Inspire.
Okay.
And it's really funny. It's like really lighthearted and everything, but she always throws something that's really great in there, you know? And she always does this check-in,
mm-hmm.
and it just has the different color hearts
mm-hmm.
emojis, and they stand for something different. And I was like, wow, that's real. She's doing this with people that she doesn't even know. The people that we know, we don't really check in with a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't sit across from a friend and say, how are you doing? No, really. How are you doing? Tell me. I'm going to sit here and I want to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so with my family, we do that.
Yeah.
We really, really check in and we hold each other to the fire and say, no, you're going to tell me what you're feeling right now because
yeah.
I see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we check in. It's important.
Oh man. I love that. And it's important. It really is. So with the Phantom.
Uh-huh.
With Billy Bigelow understudy. I know. I'm sorry. He just sighed, y'all, because he knows where I'm headed with this.
I love Billy Bigelow, but continue.
Well, and look, it's a classic. You know,
yes.
It's considered a classic.
Yeah.
Did you ever go on for?
4 times.
4 times.
Renee Fleming's last 4 performances.
No,
she
I didn't
sang
know that.
Over my dead body.
Ooh.
You'll never walk alone. Yes.
So hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
I'm just, you know, I
talk to me.
I don't even know if I entered the question the right way, but regardless. So with Billy Bigelow, And I guess with Phantom, but I'm just saying these are characters that were originally traditionally presented white. Mm-hmm. And I think particularly with Billy Bigelow, with the death, with the domestic violence. Mm-hmm.
It's a different spin on it, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And I'm happy that you got a check like that. I'm happy Joshua Henry got a check like that.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious. For me, I was like, is seeing this happen to a black man the story that I want to see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious from a performer perspective how that felt on your spirit, I guess.
Yeah. For me, I think it's really a lot in the way you play the character.
Okay.
And how you load the character's emotional content and his backstory or her backstory.
Mm.
And for me, and I asked people after my performance of it, and they got it.
Okay.
They got my choices.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was trying to show how Billy Bigelow was troubled.
Hmm.
He wasn't intentionally manipulative and physically violent.
Mm-hmm.
That was an outworking of his background, you know, mm-hmm. everything that he carries. And as black men in this country, as black men in this world, mm-hmm. we carry a lot that we've had to go through, you know.
Right.
And
right.
So when you see anybody, but specifically speaking of people of color, get angry or something, there's a snapping that's happening that is under decades of pressure, you know? And so for me, Billy Bigelow was in love with a woman that just happened to be white,
okay.
you know? And he was trying to do for her and for his family and for himself the best thing with the information that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a plight of black America.
Mm.
Because we're set up in such a way that from childhood through the beginning of college, where everything is given to you, you don't really have a choice what you get.
Mm.
We're set up to be less than,
mm-hmm.
because we're in communities without a lot of money, and therefore we don't get the greatest of educators and everything like that. And so when we step out into the real world, now we're trying to battle against somebody who has 10 legs up on us to get to the same place, and we're using the tools that are, it's like trying to build a fire with a stone and like a stick,
right.
while somebody's over there building a fire with a blowtorch. Like, it's like,
beautiful analogy.
He's going to be done in 5 seconds, and I'm frustrated because I'm trying to do what needs to be done, but I don't have the tools to do it.
Yeah.
So Billy Bigelow is that to me, you know, a representation of black America. We want to be right. We want to just fall in love with whoever the hell we want to fall in love with, you know, but we don't have the tools, and society keeps coming after us. In the show, there's a policeman that just is constantly moving around, but he's greeting everybody nicely, and, oh, hello, great day to you. But for Billy, he's like, I got my eye on you. That's a reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though it's set so far back in time, it's so current. You know,
relevant.
Thank you. It's so relevant even today. So when I approach the character, that's the way I wanted for my Billy Bigelow to read, you know, and for that, I was appreciative. If it were me doing the role from the beginning, I think that would have been a conversation that I would have had with the director,
right,
you know,
right.
And it's a tightrope that we walk.
It is.
Like seeing people of color, like getting great roles, rock on, it's phenomenal, and I love it. But also, it's time for black people to be depicted as excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And I love telling our history and telling our story, and it's important and it's necessary. But for there to be forward movement, we have to start telling our future.
Mm.
and showing ourselves in the light that we stand in today, mm-hmm. as opposed to constantly be. I mean, the Met is putting up Porgy and Bess. Rock on. You know, Showboat comes around all the time. Okay. You know, like, these are great works. Phenomenal. But I'm done being looked at like a slave or a less than individual. I don't want my nephew and niece to see that. Mm. I want them to see that your father and myself, we worked our asses off so that you could stand on our shoulders as nothing short of equal to everybody else. You mm-hmm. know, are we there yet? I don't think so. But I'd like for them to be able to see that.
Right.
Represented. Yeah. And it's coming. It's happening. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself constantly that if Dr. King hadn't been assassinated, he could have been alive 10 years ago. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. So we're not that far removed generationally from that whole, you know, era of segregation and everything like that in this country. So we've done great works and we've made great strides, but there's so much more work to be done.
There is. And like you said, you're walking a tightrope because it's like, y'all should, as black men, be able to sing a quote classic role like Biggie Bigelow.
Mm-hmm.
And it did add another layer, honestly. I hope that the audiences, I hope the producers are having the discourse. I'm just hoping that there's dialogue of like why it would be so powerful, so intense to see a black man in that role. And I don't know if we are there yet.
We're not there.
Yeah.
We're not there.
Yeah.
Because this is a business first.
Mm.
So those conversations some of them are creative, mm-hmm. but necessarily so, most of them are business.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make this show work?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's fine. You do your job. Just so long as when the creative voices are being spoken, they're being heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There's a lot of people who are for, and I am not of the persuasion that the pendulum needs to swing all the way over to only people of color getting these roles. I think that there really needs to be a give and take on both sides, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be in the middle,
mm-hmm.
like firmly in the middle for everyone, mm-hmm. you know? But sometimes it does take a swing to the other side to get the pendulum to sit firmly in the middle.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's what people are fighting for now. But to your point, the creatives, the people who are making these shows, the people who are casting these shows, that's where the buck falls, you know, because that's where it happens. The money people, they're going to be about the money. That's their gig. That's their job.
Mm.
And you can't fault them for that. They're not creative in vision. It's up to the creative individuals to say, no, this is viable and this will work, and to write things that are good.
Right. And that's, I guess that's the other piece of the conversation too. It's like you were saying, looking towards our future, it's like, revival's forever, you know, shout out. But like, also let's write new works.
If y'all could see her, she's like putting it up.
But let's also write new works from new voices, from new perspectives,
mm-hmm.
that allow everyone,
yeah.
but particularly the people that have been marginalized, to be multidimensional.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. We're very complex individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So complex. And our stories, dare I say, may be more interesting.
Ooh, dare he say it? He say it.
Yes. I said it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
They're interesting. They're so
Absolutely.
Intricate and so varied.
Yeah, right, right.
It's Holy not just God, one it's story. Not just one freaking story.
Ew.
It's not. I mean, if we had the time for me to tell you my story,
mm-hmm.
who I am, where I came from, how I became who I am, and what the layers are in Derek Davis,
mm-hmm.
that's a story in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, tell those stories. Tell those stories. If I were a writer, I would do it. You know? Tell the stories.
I love that. Tell those stories, y'all. we got to wrap up, but I have more questions. So I'm like, you know,
go,
what?
Go, rapid fire, hit it.
Like, F the time. Because I like the, I get in my, this can be my final question, but that first night that you took your bow for Phantom, thinking back to, baby Derek. What, I mean.
You trying to Oprah me or something? Yeah. I mean, wait a minute. I'm feeling some sort of way.
Yes, I'm channeling Oprah. I want to, look, I know you are aware of your emotions.
So I am.
I need to know. I need to know because I feel like that is such a special moment for you.
I was petrified. Hmm. My first city was Texas.
Oh, wow.
It's bush country.
Mm-hmm.
The highways are named after the bushes. Like, it's you
they are, yeah.
You can't escape it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. I only knew. I'd never visited Texas other than to be in Dallas for that short time. The media creates this version of reality that's so difficult to unsee.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know stepping out of that mirror in the very beginning. When I tell you, I sweat completely through that entire tuxedo before I even got on the stage. I was so frightened because I didn't know how I would be received as a black man playing the Phantom.
Absolutely.
And at the end, because, you know, people are going to be polite. They're going to clap after you've sung. They're going to clap after you do whatever. The end is where they'll tell you whether they enjoyed your performance or not. There will be applause, but it'll either be polite or it'll be honestly over the top or less than whatever it'll be.
Yeah.
It's going to be honest.
Yeah.
And walking down, first feeling the love from my castmates.
Mm.
That was huge because we go everywhere together. We are all we have where we go,
yeah.
You know? Then getting down to the front and coming into the light and literally feeling the wash of love and acceptance and appreciation and just energy come falling over me from the audience. Tears. Just tears,
oh,
tears, 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 tears. It was an amazing moment. It really was. And I'm excited now because my first city going back on the road is Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, right.
So
right.
I get to go right back to Bass Hall and and now I get to say thank you to them.
Right.
With my performances.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
Is what that sounds like.
It was overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean it's in some ways, it's so exciting to be like, you are the third black man to play Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
You're the first on the national tour.
Yes.
Like, that's like a cool title.
It is.
And clearly, look, I'm like, that was my last question. No, we got to keep digging. I'm like, nah, forget it. But at the same time, it's like, only the third?
After 30 plus years.
Right.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
Do you feel a responsibility? Do you feel? I mean, of course, I'm sure you're I'm sure you embrace it, of course. But I'm just saying, like, how does it make you feel?
Yeah, it. In the beginning, I felt like I had something to prove.
Okay.
Like,
right.
As a black man, I have to prove that we can do every show. I'm not calling out of shows. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be excellent.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on top of my game. I'm going to kill this role. I'm going to grow every show, which I still do. I have to grow and get better at the role every time I get on the stage.
Mm.
But now I've accomplished that.
Mm-hmm.
I've established that I am worth my salt, my weight in salt. I have the goods. I can do the role.
Right.
Now the artistry can come through,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
so
the craftsmanship,
yes. Yeah.
Just building the layers of the character and being honest in the moment and letting it live in different ways every show. And it really is something amazing to experience as the performer, just doing it every night for different audiences and everything. So I feel like I'm comfortable in my skin.
Right.
Doing
that's
it
great.
Now. Yeah.
I mean, that's the dream.
It
you
really
know?
Is. It really is.
And it's so it's I imagine it's interesting too, because in a way you're put on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for this like this third black man title, and inspiring so many yeah. young black actors, actors of color, actors, you know, everyone. Mm-hmm. But it is that thing of like you have to work twice as hard to get just as much.
Yeah.
And I think the thing I'm trying to articulate is like the freedom to be messy, to mess
yeah.
up and
yeah.
make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I feel. And let me be clear. The company never put any of that pressure on me. That's
mm-hmm.
pressure I put on myself
yeah.
from what society believes.
Of course.
You know?
Right, right.
But with that said, messing up is... And by messing up, I'll never do anything on stage that's going to hurt the show.
Sure.
Ever. I'm very good at what I do. I've worked very long to be good at what I do. If I forget something, I make
we
it
yes
work or whatever.
It.
But exactly. Yes, and.
Yeah.
Exactly. But... giving yourself permission to make a mistake often results in finding something that you would have never found
huh.
if you weren't freed up to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So now going out again with the role, I'm like, let's make the mistakes. Let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the directors, the resident director, the choreographers, everybody, they're here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want the show to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And as humans, we make mistakes all the time.
Right, right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So let it happen on stage.
Oh, man.
Yeah, love it.
I need to come see you is a thing.
Baltimore.
Like, Baltimore, here I come. wow, yes, you are amazing.
You're amazing.
And I feel so full from this conversation.
Dude.
I
you
really
and me
do.
Both. You yeah. know how like you do interviews mm-hmm. and they're exhausting? Especially like a day of interviews, and I've had a week of interviews.
Mm.
This has been so invigorating. Like, I feel like I've just been myself, finally, you know, and just get to just hang and chill. Like, we're just chilling in a living room, you know?
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm so happy to hear that. I feel the same way.
Sweet.
And I could talk to you for hours, but we'll just, you know, we'll check in. Maybe
yes,
we'll
we will.
Do, like, on the road or something,
I'm
you
down.
Know? Okay?
I'm down.
We'll be like the Call and Response family for you.
Oh,
like
I
them,
love
you know.
I love that.
So for folks who want to follow your journey
yes.
as you tour the United States and beyond, where can they follow you on social media?
Dream Climber, all one word, everywhere.
Dream Climber, I love it.
Or if you go to therealderekdavis.com.
Great. Yeah.
There as well.
Yeah, go check it. It's a cute website. When I was looking at it,
thanks.
The coffee photo, I was like, mm-hmm, he's working those angles.
Yes. Find your light.
Right. And then the final two questions for real, are, one, if you could recommend a piece of black art for folks to take into, what would it be?
Black art?
Yeah, an album, a book, a TV show, a
ooh.
Movie, a piece of theater.
Yes, yes, yes. There's an artist, Laura Mvula.
I don't know the name.
Ooh.
I got homework.
Yes. Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Mvula. Mvula.
Okay.
Her music is something else. Ugh. Like, just thinking about it, it puts me in a space.
Mm-hmm.
Her music is the music that I listen to before I do every one of my shows. A different song is what I choose for the show that I'm doing, and there's one that she did for Disney. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake.
Stay awake.
Yeah.
Like Mary Poppins, Stay Awake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dive away.
Yeah.
Dive
away. Yeah.
But listen to that song.
Okay.
And listen to the lyric. It's the same lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But let it speak to you as a black person.
Okay. Okay.
It'll change your life.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Great. And then the last question, if you could give a shout out to a fellow black artist And if you want to do a top three or a top five, people are always like, just one? And
right.
No.
Right.
But it's just to give some love.
Yes.
Who would it be?
Allie Caldwell.
Okay.
She's one of the most beast singers I know. Angela Burchett. She's an amazing actress, stage, and now screen. She's going to be in the upcoming Clark Sisters movie by, I think it's, she's in that. there's a ton of people who created it, but I don't want to misname somebody. Yeah. Who else? Yeah, I think that's it.
Those are, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love it. We're just giving some
love, y'all. Aaron Marcellus.
Okay.
Get into him on social media, people.
Okay.
Aaron Marcellus, you'll find him. He sings with such dexterity and accuracy, it is mind-boggling.
Wow.
I'm going to play some of him for you when we get off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please do. And y'all go find him.
Aaron Marcellus.
Aaron Marcellus. Okay. This is, again, such a conversation.
So good.
I'm so happy. Y'all, go see Derek on tour if he's coming to a city near you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we'll do a big trip to Baltimore. But great. Thank you so much for being here
today.
My
pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Until next time, y'all.